Shalom! Holy Scriptures and Israel is a ministry designed to share with the Jewish people the good news of the Lord Jesus, Yeshua the Messiah, and to instruct Christians on the Jewish roots of their faith. And now, teaching God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective, here is Gideon Levitam.
Shalom, everyone. Turn with me, please, to the book of Hebrews in the Brit Hadasha, New Testament, Hebrews chapter 2. This is actually our third session that deals with the book of Hebrews. We have covered the first chapter already, and today I want to enter into the second chapter, at least if we can deal this session with the first four verses of the second chapter. Now, beloved, when we think of the book of Hebrews, I think it is one of the most important New Testament scripture or letter that helps us to understand our position in the Messiah. It helps us to understand the place in which we have been brought into as believers because of the work that the Lord Yeshua, the Messiah, had accomplished for us. The writer, a Hebrew believer, writing to his brethren, as we have mentioned quite a few times in the last two sessions, his Hebrew, Israeli, Jewish brethren who were being persecuted because of their faith in the Messiah, in Yeshua. And because of the persecution and the fact that they sense a loss by not offering the sacrifices and they're going through the law of Moses, the system that had been established already in the past, because they were not there any longer, they felt a loss. They felt discouraged. Here is the writer, a believing brother of these Hebrews, writing to them to encourage them to move on into maturity. While the letter was actually written to the Hebrews, because it says, El Ha'ivrim, to the Hebrews, the letter is applied to you and I today, to believers in Yeshua the Messiah, Jewish or non-Jewish, Israelis or non-Israelis, Hebrews or non-Hebrews. That letter is for the church, for the assembly of Yeshua the Messiah. But because we are studying the scripture from the first century perspective, messianic perspective, it is so healthy to see it, how and what the writer meant when he initially written these letters to the Hebrews. Chapter 2, verse 1 says this, therefore, we ought to give a more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip or let them drift. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every sin or every transgression and disobedience receive a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness both with signs and wonders and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. And I'll stop here with this fourth verse of the second chapter. Now we could go on, and we will if we have the time, but at this particular point I would like us to see what's happening. Remember that the letter to the Hebrews was written to the Hebrew believers to show them the superiority of Yeshua the Messiah, of the Lord Jesus the Messiah, over everyone that came before, everyone that is existing then, and everyone that will come after. He's superior. He's greater. He's better than any person that ever came before. And if he's better, the believers in Yeshua the Messiah are supposed to understand that they are not lacking anything. They are actually complete, as we have it in the book of Colossians. We are, or ye are, complete in him. But you see, these Hebrew believers felt very, very much discouraged because they thought, or at least they were not in a full measure of understanding, that they are not lacking anything. And that having Christ, having the Mashiach, having Yeshua, having the Lord Jesus, they have everything. They are not lacking a thing. And so he told them, if you remember, in the first chapter that we have just finished to cover, he told them that the Messiah Yeshua is superior than the angels. Angels were very important to the Jewish people. I mean, I don't have to go far, but just tell you, for example, when God spoke to men in the past, before we get to even the book of Exodus, God used the angels to minister, to serve, to communicate with men. Let me give you just one simple example. When Abraham was sitting at the tent in the heat of the day, in the book of Genesis, and he was sitting and lo, three men appeared unto him. If you remember Genesis chapter 18, one of them was none else but the Lord himself, and we believe it was the pre-incarnate Messiah, the Lord Jesus in his pre-incarnation. The other two were angels who walked with him and appeared to Abraham our father, in the tent. And you remember he gave him the promise that Sarah shall bear a child in the fullness of time, in season, she will bear a child. After that, you remember Abraham spoke with Jehovah, with the Lord there, and then the Lord went away from him and the two remaining angels went into the city of Sodom. We call it in English Sodom. And you remember when the angels came, they spoke to Lot. And he wanted them to come into his house. And they went into his house and they told him that God is going to judge the city of Sodom. And it didn't take too long. And the judgment of God, in accordance with the words of these angels, came to pass. And Sodom became nothing, had been completely burnt into nothing, into a waste. And God's word through the angels surely came to pass. And we can move on in the whole history, both of pre-Israel and then the whole history of Israel as a nation. The angels became and were servants to communicate with the people of Israel that which God had intended for them. And so you remember, he already showed them that the Messiah, Yeshua, is greater than anyone else, and now greater than the angels, because, number one, he has a better name, chapter one. He is worshipped, they are not to be worshipped, chapter one. He is to be ministered to what they are to minister to him, to serve him. He is called God in Hebrews 1, verse 8. There can never be called God. He is anointed because he's laid the foundation of the world. He is the creator. They have been created. He is unchanging. He is the same. Chapter 1, Hebrews 1 and verse 12. While the angels change. And you remember, the angels fail. The angels had kept not their first estate. Lucifer, this great angel, became what is known today as Satan, the devil. He changed. But the Lord Yeshua, the Messiah, never changed. And he finished the work on the tree for redemption and he sat down. The angels are still to serve and to minister. And he is the one that is superior than to the angels. So after telling them this, he pauses here, verses 1 to 4 of Hebrews 2. It's like a pause before he is continuing to speak about the superiority of Yeshua over the angels, the rest of the second chapter. And in this pause, he gives these Hebrew believers the first warning of the five warnings that are found in the book of Hebrews. Now, beloved, let me just tell you something. I know we don't like to get warnings. We oftentimes like to talk about the love of God, the grace of God, the forgiveness of God, the goodness of God, and everything, you know, I don't need, you know, everything that God can do for me, and he can give me, and he can help me, and he can love me. And we don't like when we get warnings from the Lord. And you see, the warnings, the signs that we have, the warnings that we get from God are only to help the believers to grow in appreciation of what God have done for us through the Lord Yeshua the Messiah. Warnings we ourselves like to give to others in order to help them, if we do it in the right way, that they will be careful, that they will benefit from this at the end. You and I, we tell our children, don't cross the street. Watch when you cross the street. Why? Because children have an inclination to cross the street without to look left and right. We are being warned every time, every day we are being warned. And it is always for our benefit. Hear what he does, right in the middle of the discussion and the presentation of the superiority of Yeshua over the angels, he take and he pause here and he give them a warning. Now, let's remember one thing. The letters to the Hebrews were not written to unbelievers. It was written to believers. Saved by grace. Forgiven. The price have been paid. The Messiah, Yeshua, died on the tree and they've accepted him. They've embraced him as their Lord and Savior and they were saved. And I want to remind you once again, according to my Bible, that you never find in a Bible, at least as far as my understanding, that a believer can lose his salvation. He never gained his salvation on his own. He's never going to lose it on his own. Because he never done anything to receive that salvation except God work in his or her heart to bring a person to the knowledge of Yeshua. No one will pluck you out of my hand, Yeshua had said in John chapter 10. So don't anybody can say, well, you know, if I'm not going to be good enough, I will not retain my salvation. You can't retain it anyway. You have sinned already today when you came to the meeting. I have sinned already today when I opened my eyes. The first thing we do in many things, in many thoughts, in many ways, we have sinned. And it is not our faithfulness that maintain our salvation, but it is the blood that Yeshua the Messiah paid on the tree. But we might lose the enjoyment of that salvation. We might lose and be disciplined by God. We might lose the relationship or the enjoyment of that relationship which we have when we came to faith in the Messiah. And so now listen, in the next verses, he's talking to believers and give them warning that if they will not maintain and sustain nearness to Yeshua, they will end up to pay the consequences. And so now notice that. He's saying to them in verse 1, therefore, he began with the word therefore. Therefore what? In light of what I have already told you in chapter 1, in light of the information that you have received concerning the superiority of the Messiah over all the angels and everyone else, in light of this, we, and you notice by the way that the writer says we, he doesn't say you, because we might say, well, maybe the writer is not a child of God, but he is applying it to himself. And he says, therefore, we, you Hebrew believers, Jewish believers, Israeli believers, and I, the writer, and we presume that he was an Israeli, Hebrew, Jewish believer, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Now, what does he mean here when he says that? You notice he says, we ought to give a more or the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. What they have heard. What he's coming to tell these believers is that there is a responsibility that any person that have accepted the Lord Yeshua the Messiah, there is a responsibility to, as it says here, to pay a more careful attention to the Word of God. You see, he said, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. What did they hear? You know what they heard? They heard that the Messiah have come. They heard of the price that the Lord Jesus had paid for them on the tree. They've heard of God speaking. What did they heard? You remember, we just began in the whole book of Hebrews. They have heard that God, at sundry time and in diverse manner, He spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us in the person of His Son, whom He is appointed heir of all things, by whom He made a world, who has been the brightness of His glory, the express image of His person, upholding of all things by the word of His power. And He, when He by Himself purged our sins, He sat down on the right hand on the majesty on high. They have heard these words that God many times has spoken to the Hebrew fathers, and in the last days He's spoken in the person of the Lord Yeshua the Messiah, His Son. And now they were responsible to continue on in the spiritual progress following after the Lord Yeshua, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus, the Messiah. And He's saying to them in verse 1, there is the need of giving heed to God's word through the Messiah. There is a need. You know, there is amazing to me, and many preachers say that, that there are individuals who are sitting in pews year after year, month after month, week after week. They go to church meetings and they never grow spiritually. It's become like a club. I go to church meetings Sunday or any day of the week, or Saturday in our case, and I sit in the congregation, I hear the word of God open, and I don't take seriously what God says in His word. I take it lightly. I don't want to pass the buck and blame other people and point to other people, but we know this existing in our very own lives. The preacher may preach, the word will be brought forth, and the carelessness, not only of unbelievers, of believers when it's come to the things of the Lord. They are not careful to realize and to take it seriously. They think it is a joke. It's a religious thing, you know, we got to do once in a time, once a week, and we just do this because that's the way things are. He says, no. He says, listen, we ought to give a more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. We have heard. There is a responsibility to respond to the word of God. And there is a responsibility to act upon that. Sometimes our conscience are so hard, and we are not tender in our conscience towards the Lord and towards each other. We are so callous, and we are not responding to the word of God. You know how much God wants us to respond to Him. For all what He has done for us, He wants us to respond. Just imagine that you and I as parents give ourselves to our children, give our lives for them, do everything for them when they're babies until they become a teenager, the mature young men, and they don't respond to what you have done for them all your life. How do you feel about that? How would I feel about that? Sad and unhappy. And sometimes we need to discipline the children, when we are at the age that we can discipline and we can correct them, when they are under our responsibility. But God does not want you and I as believers that have heard the word of God that we will not give heed and will not take it seriously. That's why, beloved, when we come to a Bible study, we are coming to learn from the word of God. We don't come to play games. We are coming for a Bible study. When we come to a meeting such as this, we don't have to be 3,000 people. We can be two or three, where two or three are gathered together unto my name. Yeshua said, I promise to be in the midst. And we can enjoy the presence of the Lord and learn from Him and take from His word what He teaches us. Last Thursday Bible class, we were talking about Genesis chapter 50, the last chapter in the book of Genesis. And Jacob was going to be buried by his own son. And we were thinking of how the sons have caused him so much havoc in his life. But at his death, they all walk with him and gave him the honor that he deserved, and they took him to the burial site in the city of Hebron, in the cave that had been prepared, especially bought by Abraham. And you know, this is something that it's real. It's you and I. We are not talking about somebody else. It's something that applied to us in our own personal life. It's convicting us. We know many times that we don't give serious attention to the things of the Lord. And he's telling to those Hebrews, he says, therefore, we, you and I, must or ought to give a more earnest heed or more careful attention to the things that we have heard. Now he tells them why. You know why? In the second half of the verse, in verse 1b, there's a reason why. You know why? Because it says, lest at any time we should let them slip. In other words, in the Greek, really, that to be drifting, that we will let them drift away, and we being drifted away from the things of the Lord. You know, you don't have to do much in order to find yourself getting further and further from the things of the Lord Yeshua the Messiah. Just if you harden your heart, if I harden my heart, and I don't allow the Spirit of God to speak to me, and I'm saying I didn't get my way and I got to get my way and I'm going to do my own thing and I don't care what everybody's saying, and we are not tender towards the Lord, you will find yourself drifting away from the things of the Lord, just like a boat may drift away. You might say, I don't need to go to church meetings this Sunday or this Saturday. I don't need a Bible study. I don't really need to read the Bible today. I'll be fine. I'll put the religious face on Sunday and I'll be fine, you know. And you will find yourself, while you may not be drifting away with your body on Sunday morning, you and I will be drifting away with our hearts and conscience from the things of the Lord. It doesn't take too long. I live very close to Niagara Falls. You know what happened in Niagara Falls many years ago? I didn't see it, but I heard it. The man was in the boat in the Niagara Falls area, and he parked his boat very close to the shore area, and he kind of fell asleep without tying the boat. And it is a fact that it has happened. It didn't take too long, and the current began to take him away from where he placed his boat. And the boat had carried him further and further into the stream, that when he all of a sudden woke up, it was too late. And the boat went right down the falls, and this man lost his life, and he died. He physically died. And you see what happened, brothers and sisters. It is with us, it's the same thing. We are not talking about salvation here. We are talking about a relationship and the enjoyment of our relationship with our blessed Lord Jesus the Messiah. Lest at any time we, I, the writer, you, the Hebrew readers, we should let them, the words that God has spoken to us, slip away from us. And we find ourselves, sadly, without spiritual energy, without joy in our life. You know, people try to find happiness in their life, and they cannot find any happiness without the person of Yeshua, the Messiah. And it is unfortunate that believers like you and I also try to find happiness and joy in our life here. But the time we set the Lord aside from our life, and we become miserable, we become unhappy, we allow the things of God drift away, and we are ending up to be the losers, because the moment, whenever we stay close to the Lord, whenever we stay in fellowship with the Lord, it is only the strength for our life. It's only the blessing for our life. It's only helping us in our spiritual growth. It even helps us here in the world. We know how to communicate with people. We are blessing to people around us. We know how to react in situations. Why? When we are close to the Lord. The Lord is our strength, we read in Scripture. The Lord is a strong tower. He is the one that can help his own people. And if we not giving an earnest heed to the things which we have heard, there is a danger of letting those things to slip and to drift like that boat away. We need to stay close to the Lord. We need to stay in communication with him. We need to have our conscience and our hearts soft and tender to allow him to work in our lives. When we sin and sin come into our lives so quickly, we'll read it later on when we get to chapter 12, the sin which does so easily beset us, when we stay close to the Lord, confessing our sins, He forgives us, we can repent, and then we can restore our relationship with the Lord Yeshua, the Messiah. And so those Hebrews, He gives them the first warning here in these first four verses, and He wants them to see the importance of continuing on following the Lord Yeshua, the Messiah. Why? Because Israel, when Israel did not accept the Messiah in His first coming, it didn't take too long, beloved, that by 70 AD, the temple had been destroyed. And many of our Jewish people died by the Romans. The Jerusalem had been burnt. And there was not one stone left upon another. And God came in judgment upon the people of Israel who did not yet accept the Messiah. But here, the writer to the Hebrew believers telling them, you also have responsibility to continue to follow after the Messiah, because if you are not going to stay close to Him, you will allow His word to drift, and you will find yourself in a very sad situation. So there is a need of giving heed. There is a need of giving careful attention to God's word, and not to allow the word of God to drift away from the believer, from us. Now, in verse 2 and the first part of verse 3, he's showing to those Hebrew believers the impossibility, that it is not possible to escape punishment. You know, brothers and sisters, we have to realize that God have to judge sin. He has to judge sin in the unbeliever, but He also has to judge sin in the believer.
You have been listening to the Holy Scriptures and Israel with Gideon Levitam. Gideon teaches God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective. For more information about this ministry, write to Holy Scriptures and Israel, Box 1411, Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario, L0S1J0, or visit our website at holyscripturesandisrael.com. You are also invited to Gideon's weekly Bible teaching on Fridays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m., and Saturdays at 1 p.m. at Willowdale Christian Assembly Hall, 28 Martin Ross Avenue in Toronto. Holy Scriptures and Israel is made possible by your prayers and financial support. If you would like to support the program, visit holyscripturesandisrael.com. God bless you. Shalom, shalom.